Kaya kagaya ng aking pinaliwanag ng nakaraang linggo, dala ng pagbubunyi sa pagkawagi ni Barack Obama bilang presidente ng Amerika ay isang napakalaking hakbang ito sa kasaysayan kung paanong sa wakas, kumbaga sa Amerika, ay nadaig na itong bias against race. Kaya minabuti ko na gamitin itong pagkakataon na tingnan yung iba't ibang mga diskriminasyon pa na nangyayari sa ating mga lipunan, sa iba't ibang mga bansa. So we started logically with racial discrimination, which we addressed last week. At doon nga nakita natin talagang may pagkakaiba-iba ng mga lahi sa mundo, bagamat sa pananampalatayang Kristiyano, nakabatay ito pa rin sa original na magkatambal. The original pair is that of Adam and Eve, and in fact, it is much better to explain racial differences than the attempt to explain it in terms of evolution. So we believe that the biblical explanation of an original pair with a perfect genotype, a perfect genetic makeup that can have racial differences, ang mas makapagpapaliwanag ng mga pagkakaiba-iba ng mga lahi. At sinabi natin na yung pagkakaiba-iba, hindi nangangahulugan na may lamang o merong mas inferior, kundi there is equality of the races. And this all the more because of the Christian's theology of creation, the Christian's theology of the final vision or eschatology, yung Christian's theology ng mission, at marami pang bagay na dapat maging pwersa para sa Kristiyano na daigin itong racial discrimination. And in fact, while it is true and we admitted that Christians sometimes have been either unwilling or unknowing participant in racial discrimination, but Christians too have been in the forefront of the struggle against racial discrimination. Sila yung nagpursige rin, nagpunyagi para labanan itong discrimination na batay sa lahi. So yan ang tinalakay natin ng nakaraang linggo. Susundan natin ito ng pangalawang uri ng diskriminasyon na patuloy pa rin, marami pa rin, at lalo na sa kasaysayan, iba't ibang anyo, and it's still going on, and this is discrimination by gender, o tawag ng iba ay sexual discrimination. So yan ang ating titingnan ngayon. Again, let's begin with an acknowledgement of the facts that merong sexual difference. May pagkakaiba ng kasarian. At yung pagkakaiba na yon ay male and female. Babae at lalaki. Lang yung symbol ng lalaki, di ba? At babae. Alam niyo yung symbol na yan? Shield and spear of Mars, mirror of Venus. Kaya lalaki at babae. At nakita niyo saan associated ang lalaki, giyera, saan associated ang babae, salamin. But that has been the way men and women have been associated sa ganyang symbol. So merong talagang babae at lalaki. Simula pa nung paglilikha ng Diyos, nilalang sila na lalaki at babae. Now, I am aware that there can be physical complications, and physical complications sometimes give or raise questions, ano ba ito talaga? But whatever that may be, there are only two sexual identity, male and female, and whatever other complications, there can be no third sexual identity. By choice or by preference. It will always be by what kind of body we have. Kung anong uri ng katawan, mayroon tayo. At yung pagkakaiba na yan ng lalaki at babae, bukod sa nakikita sa katawan, ay yung kanilang physical, chemical makeup ang nagpapaiba sa lalaki at babae. Yung hormonal identity ng lalaki, tinatawag na androgen, at yung hormonal identity ng babae ay tinatawag na estrogen. Ano ba? Yeah, estrogens. And ito yung pagkakaibang hormonal and in terms ng hormones, and because of these hormones, ito ang nagpapaiba sa tinatawag nating masculinity and femininity. Yung pagkalalaki at yung pagkababae in terms ng kanilang body build-up, vocal identity. Ngayon, kuminsan may mga lalaki na medyo dumami yung kanilang estrogen, kaya meron silang medyo feminine traits. yung parang kuminsan boses babae, o kaya yun namang mga babae kuminsan will have medyo na parami yung kanilang androgen, ay magkakaroon sila ng masculine traits, hairy, etc. Well, but these are just yung imbalances ng hormones, pero in terms of identity, talagang ang lalaki ay dominated ng androgens, yung babae ay dominated ng estrogens. And of course, the physical makeup will show what is a person's sexual identity. So yan yung bagay na alam natin, na pagkakaiba ng sa sangkatauhan, kalalakihan at kababaihan. At muli, nakabata ito sa ating pananalig sa turo ng salita ng Diyos. Doon pa lang sa paglikha, nasa itaas ng iyong mga handout ang ating key text, Genesis 1:27. God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female, He created them. So from the very beginning, it's male and female. Adam and Eve. May preacher na nagsabi, hindi Adam and Steve. Adam and Eve. Just male and female. Walang ikatlo. Walang ikatlong kasarian. Dalawa lamang. So, in this creation, the fact na pareho silang kinreate, sinabi in the image of God, they shared in the image of God, what does that mean? It means, from the very outset, equality. Hindi sinabi rito na it was only man that was created in God's image, and then later on, all those sequence ng Genesis 2, binigyan ng sequence yung kanilang pagkakalalang, pero the summary of Genesis 1 is, both male and female are created in the image of God, which means equality. Equality based on the image of God. Hindi naman kalahating image lang sa babae at mas maraming image sa lalaki. It's both of them are created in God's image. However, equality with mandated differences. Magkapantay pero may minando o may inilagay na kaibahan. So may inilagay na kaibahan at makikita natin yan doon sa sequence na pag ginamit yung detalye ng istorya sa Genesis 2, ay ando yung kaibahan or shall we say parameters, which means that man and woman are equal, but man is not woman, woman is not man. There are differences, and differences mean parameters, may hangganan. May mga bagay na hindi na dapat sa lalaki pagkat ito'y para sa babae, very obviously, childbirth. And then there are things na para sa babae at hindi dapat humanggan sa kanyang pagkababae at maging para sa lalaki. So, which means again, when there is something which is equal but different in the hands of sinful man, it's very vulnerable to discrimination. And sexual discrimination is one of the ugly facts of man's history. Yung diskriminasyon na batay sa kasarian ay katotohanan ng kasaysayan. And who do you think is the victim? Hindi yung lalaki. Kaya naghanap ako talaga ng mga from the primitive societies until the present, if there is a case of male na sila ang biktima, wala akong makita talaga. lagi ang biktima ng sexual discrimination ay yung kababaihan. So yan ang titingnan natin katotohanan, the forms of sexual discrimination na nangyayari. So unang-una is yung pang-aapi sa mga babae, oppression of women. Dito ay malimit na uusig ang mga babae sa inaakala nilang pambabaing kasalanan. Women have been at the receiving end of persecution by a male-dominant society for what is considered by many as female vices. O, yung mga inaakala nilang dahil nasisisi yung mga kababaihan. Now, again, sadly, Christians have lent their ideas to this. Yung mga Kristiyano mismo ay nagiging dahilan ng paninisi sa mga babae, yung mga nag-aakala na si Eva ang may sanhi ng pagkahulog sa kasalanan. Parang sinasabi nila kung hindi kay Eva, eh alam niyo, yan na yung paninisi ni Adan, di ba? Inuulit nila. Yan na yung paninisi ni Adan nung siya ay tawagin ng Diyos, nagkaroon na ng confrontation, and we are told that God was walking in the garden in a manner of speaking, At ang sinong tinawag niyang unang-una, hindi naman yung babae, ang una niyang tinawag at pinanagot ay, Adam, where art thou? At anong sagot ni Adam? The woman you gave me. Eh, yun ang paninisin na noon pa. Naninisin na sa babae. At yan ang isang bagay na ginagamit pa rin kuminsan ngayon. I have read this in theologians I respect who are very good in their theology of grace. Pero pagdating sa usapin na ito ay sumasablay sila. At kaya dapat natin itong ituwid. Kaya ituwid natin ito. Anong sinabi ng Biblia na nangyari kay Eve? 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 3. Ang sabi ron, Eve was deceived. Ayan ang tinatalunan agad ng mga tao na, o kinan mo, kung hindi dyan, kung wala dyan si Eve, wala sanang deception na nangyari, na deceived si Eve. Well, tingnan natin yung implikasyon. If Eve was deceived, what happened to Adam? If Eve sinned by deception, nadaya siya, nalansi siya ng diablo, paano nagkasala si Adam? The only way that Adam sinned not by deception is by deliberate and open light. So may maliwanag sa kanya at ginawa niya ng buong katampalasanan, na alam niya yung ginagawa niya pero buong-buo niyang ginawa. And in that sense, his sin was much more compounded than that of Eve's. And then let's not forget one thing. Itong isang huwag natin kalimutan. Nasaan si Adam habang si Eve ay tinutukso ng diablo? Tingnan nyo sa Genesis chapter 3. Ito yung malimit na nakakaligtaan ng mga naninisi kay Eva. Genesis chapter 3, habang nagpapalitan itong si serpent at si Eve, at nung nagpasya na itong si Eve, verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. So where was Adam all along? He was there. Andun siya. Eh, hindi ko alam kung nagulat siya sa aas at napaakyat ng puno. Eh, ano man yung ginagawa niya, nandoon siya. At alam niya yung exchange na nangyayari sa pagitan ng serpent at ni Eve. Alam niya, naririnig niya, pero hindi niya sinaway. At pagkatapos, nung kumain na si Eve, binigyan siya, basta kumuha siya. So we can say that Eve was deceived. In the case of Adam, all along he was there. And he did not prevent it, and when he decided to eat, it was with full light. That makes Adam's sin even more culpable than that of Eve's. And then, don't forget another thing. Isa pang bagay, sa kanilang dalawa, it was Adam who was in a status na tinatawag sa theology na federal head or representative head. Siya ang kumakatawan sa sangkatauhan. It wasn't Eve. At anong sabi ng Romans 5:12? Sabi ng Romans 5:12, by one man, sin entered into the world. So may sa pamamagitan ng isang lalaki, pumasok ang kasalanan sa mundo. So let's say mankind. Kaya tayo naging makasalanan ay dahil sa kasalanan ni Adam. Yung kanyang kasalanan na yun ay ibinilang sa atin, imputed to humanity, and that is what we call original sin. From that original sin, all men were constituted sinners. Now it is a merely academic point to ask, what if only Eve sinned? Well, if only Eve sinned, just for academic purposes, sin would not enter into mankind by imputation. Eve would have only been constituted as an individual sinner and not the whole mankind. But Adam carried the greater responsibility. He carried the greater significance ng kanyang pagkakasala because of his sin. All mankind became sinners with him. Lahat tayo naging makasalanan. Kaya kung may sisisihin, hindi si Eva. Ang talagang sisisihin dahil sa kasalanan ng sangkatauhan ay nanggaling kay Adam. Kaya ituwid natin yan. Pero ginagamit siya ng mga ilan para sisihin ang mga kababaihan. And so what happened in history was a view of women that tended to blame them for many things. Let me cite just one historic case and then cite in what way this still continues, itong oppression of women. One historic case was in 1692 in Salem, Massachusetts. Bago pa lang itong settlement ng mga, natatanda nyo, pag-aralan natin, ang, yung missionary stories, yung mga English men, either umiiwas sa persecution o kaya naghahanap ng bagong adventure, tumawid sila sa Atlantic at nagsettle sa isang lugar sa Amerika na tinawag nilang New England. Ang pinaka-original na settlement dyan ay Massachusetts. Well, in Massachusetts, nakabuo sila ng isang Puritan na siyudad, Puritan na estado. In fact, their governor was a Puritan. Nauna si Increase Mather and then Cotton Mather. So sila yung nangunguna ron, mga Puritans, pero Puritans, alam natin yung kanilang pagdidiin sa kabanalan, pagsunod sa kasulatan. Pero doon noong 1692, may isang bata na parang inalihan ng demonyo na kung anong nangyayari sa kanya. At ang ginawa niya ay may sinisi siyang isang servant girl. At mula doon ay nagkaroon na ng pagkasunod-sunod ng paghahanap. Sino itong mga kasangkapan ni Satanas? And this became known in history as the Salem Witch Trial. Alam niyo mga nasisi, by the end of a few months of witch hunting and trial, 13 women were hanged to their death. 13 babae ang binigti. At sa kanilang palagay, pag witch, yung mga babae ang madaling kasangkapanin ni Satanas. Dahil nga si Eve ay na-deceive. yung mga babae ang madaling ma-deceive ni Satanas. Kaya at doon sa trial, kung ano-ano na lang ang kanilang ginagamit ng mga ebidensya. Kapag meron kang balat sa iyong, meron kang balat na hindi maipaliwanag, baka markayo ni Satanas. At maraming ganyan. When I read the accounts, particularly of a woman named Sarah Good, who to the end denied that she ever had anything to do with the devil, and yet she was hanged, your heart will bleed for the way these women were treated. And yet the idea was they must be vulnerable to Satan more than the men because they were women. And that's what happened to Salem. Isang bahagi lang yan ng kasaysayan. Ang punto rito ay naapi, nausig yung mga kababaihan dahil sa kanilang pagkababae lamang because of this idea of the weakness of women, oppression of women. And yung oppression na yan, continuing cases, especially of the sexual kind. Sexual abuse in society. Yung pang-aabusong sexual sa mga kababaihan. Rape is still one of the most traumatic experiences a woman can go through. And yet when you put that into a matter of legal proceeding, another traumatic case for women. Sa lipunan natin, marami pa rin ganyan. So, sexual abuse and of course, sexual harassment at work. Sexual harassment is where a certain sexual favor is demanded for certain things na mapanatili ka sa trabaho o mabigay sa iyo ang isang posisyon. Women are at the receiving end. Yung dominant na mga pangyayaring ganyan, women are the victims. And this shows yung oppression of women. At hindi maitatanggi na the victims are predominantly women than men. Then, in addition to oppression, yung talagang tahasang pananakit, andyan yung inequality with men. For a long time now, and in many societies still ongoing, women are treated as inferior. Halimbawa, maraming lugar, China is one glaring example. Pag nagpa-ultrasound yung nagdadalang tao at nalaman niya na babae yung kanya dinadala, ipapa-abort na yan. Maraming gumagawa yan. They would have yung girl sa kanilang sinapupunan aborted kasi merong ng one-child policy ang China. So, mamimili ngayon yung mga mag-asawa at mas laging pinaprefer, madalas pinaprefer ay yung lalaki. Kaya nga pag babae yung nasa sinapupunan, abortion ang nagiging kinatutuluyan ng marami. And here, you will find preference for men. Preference for boys, hindi sa mga babae. Isang dahilan yan, again, some Christians have been guilty of this, is this supposed idea that the male is superior to the female in terms of the physical and the emotional. Ito lagi kong nilalabanan. Sinasabi nila, the man is superior physically, mas malakas. Eh, siguro kung pag-uusapan natin ay pagbubuhat ng mga mabibigat na bagay, mas kaya ng lalaki. But consider it this way. Alam nyo ba na at any age level, meaning from birth until old age, at any age level, more men are sick than women. And more men die than women. In other words, hindi totoo na kung titingnan mo lang sa palakasan, ay mas malakas sa mga lalaki. That's one aspect of looking at it. Another aspect na sino ang talagang mas malusog, women are by a clear measure. Pagdating sa anong mas maraming sakit, nakararaming kalalakihan. Sinong mas madaling mamatay, makikita ito sa mga kalalakihan. And it is also known that women have a greater threshold of pain. I mean, physically. Kumbaga, mas sumigaw sila at mas umiyak. Pero, pagdating sa pagtitiis ng sakit, mas kaya ro ng babae. Let's say, pagdating na ng ditong threshold of pain, umayaw na yung lalaki, patay na. Yung babae, kaya pa. And it's since a childbirth. At makikita natin yung kanilang threshold of pain, pero hindi lang physically, even emotionally. Again, it is a matter of record by statistics, by research, that widowers die earlier than widows. No, widowers, yung mga balong lalaki, mas hindi nila kaya yung lungkot. Pag iniwanan na sila ng kanilang asawa, ay mas madali na silang mamatay. Kesa yung mga widows, mas matagal pa silang mabubuhay kahit na iniwanan na ng asawa. Well, it only proves that the women can bear loneliness better than men. So again, yung point na men are stronger physically or women are strong, men are stronger emotionally, it's just one aspect of looking at it. I believe that they are complementary. At some points, men seem to be stronger. At other points, women seem to be stronger, just to make the point that they are complementary rather than put all the superiority on the side of the male. Hindi totoong nakalalamang ang mga kalalakihan, whether we talk of it physically or emotionally, yet I have heard again and again colleagues of mine in the ministry pound on this myth that women are weak emotionally and therefore men should lead. I believe in men leadership. Mamaya pag-aaralan natin yan, but not on the basis that men are stronger physically or emotionally. Well, we have a historic case there. Matagal na panahon, again, just because they were women, that women were not granted the right to vote. So for a long, long time, there was a struggle known as the suffragette campaign. Campaign for suffrage. Ayan yung pinaglaban ng mga rinig yung matunog na pangalan dyan ay yung mag-iinang Pankhurst. Si Bill Pankhurst and then later yung kanyang mga anak, pinaglaban nila yan. Alam nyo bang yung pinakaunang bansa na nagbigay ng right of suffrage to their women was New Zealand, 1893. Sumunod na lang ang iba. Yung US, 1920. yung UK, United Kingdom, England, 1928. Diyan pa lang binigyan ng karapatan ng mga kababaihan na bumoto. Can you imagine why? Why that long? Well, again, because they were women. And that shows again a treatment of inequality. Pero hindi lang yan, nagpapatuloy pa rin yung inferiority na yan na pagtrato sa mga kababaihan. For example, is inequality of rights. Halimbawa, sa mga ilang Islamic countries, for example, Saudi Arabia, women still cannot drive. Hindi pa pwede mag-drive ang mga babae. Can you imagine? At pag nag-drive ka, mahuhuli ka. Kapag ikaw ay naglakad sa publiko na may kasama kang lalaki na hindi mo asawa, kasama lang, in public, you can be arrested. And there are such glaring inequalities in the treatment of women. Makikita natin yan sa education. Matagal na panahon bago nag-admit ng babae sa university. Yung unang-unang nakagraduate na babae, University of Oberlin, that's in the 1920s rin. Again, the point is, why that, ba't ganun kabagal na magtanggap ng mga kababaihan sa magkapantay na antas? Makikita natin yan sa compensation, the same work, yet many times with different compensation sa mga iba't ibang antas. Maaaring may ganyang mentalidad kung minsan yung mga na ama ng tahanan na pagbabae yung anak, iniisip ay anong pwedeng ipagpaaral dito, magiging asawa lang naman to ng kung sino. And that attitude can sometimes prevail, which I believe to be wrong. But that's part ng inferiority, ang pagtrato sa mga kababaihan. So inferiority or inequality with men. Then let me cite a third form. This happens in marriage. Cruelty by husband. Yung kalupitan ng asawang lalaki. Maraming mga babae ang alipin sa pagmamaltrato ng kanilang asawa. So women can be at the mercy of a husband's maltreatment. Now again, many stretch the interpretation and application of the so-called headship of the man. Now, does the Bible teach that in marriage, the man is the head of the woman? Yes, very clear. There's no disputing that. Ephesians chapter 5. Pero, ang huwag nating kalimutan, saan ito itinambal, yung pagkapangulo ng asawang lalaki, ay kagaya ng pagkapangulo ni Kristo sa kanyang iglesia. At ang sinasabi ron kung paanong inaaruga ni Kristo ang kanyang iglesia, ganun dapat ang asawang lalaki sa kanyang asawang babae. So it's, in other words, it's headship, yes, but it is a headship of nurture. It is a headship of love. It is a headship of care. It's not a headship of oppression or maltreatment or yung kung anong gusto niya. Hindi pwede ang ganung uri ng pagkapangulo ng asawa. And yet this is what's happening in many instances. Headship in terms of absolute authority. At kung hindi, bugbog ang kawawang asawa. Kung hindi man binubugbog, there can be emotional battery, physical battery or emotional battery ang kinahihinatnan. The Bible tells us that the headship of the man, of the husband, is the headship of a lover. It's a lover leader. It's a leader who honors his wife. In the language of 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, you live with your wife according to knowledge. So, ibig sabihin, hindi walang pakialam, kundi isinasaalang-alang ang kanyang asawang babae. Ganyan ang tunay na pagkapangulo ng isang asawang lalaki. But let me cite to you a specific case again in Islam. In Islam, the Quran instructs the beating of the wife by the husband in case she is disobedient. This is in Surah 4, yung chapters ng Quran ang tawag ay Surah. And I have here several translations of Surah 4:34. Let me use itong sa aking palagay, maliwanag. It says, men are superior to women because Allah has made the one of them to excel the other and because they spend of their property for the support of women. So good women are the obedient, guarding in secret that which Allah has guarded. As for those from whom you fear rebellion, admonish them and banish them to beds apart and scourge them. Maraming mga Islamic scholars ang nahihiya sa salitang ito sa Arabic, kaya pinipilit nilang bigyan ng iba't ibang translation, but there's no going around it. One translation here, the best that they could come up with is beat her lightly. Dagdag na lang nila yun, yung lightly, para lang mapigil yung kahihiyan na dulot noon. Pero yung salita in Arabic is talagang matinding pagbugbog ang mangyayari. At yan ay ginagawa. Ginagawa yan ng maraming mga Islamic husbands. Discourage them. Then if they obey you, seek not a way against them. Lo, Allah is ever high, exalted, great. Oh, para mapakita mo yung greatness ni Allah sa isang, sa palagay mo, hindi sumusunod na asawang babae ay gulpihin mo. Ay napaka ganyan ang paniniwala ng Islam. But of course, you and I know it's not just Muslims who are guilty of this. Ginagawa ito ng mga taong nagaangking Kristiyano, ang pananakit sa asawa, whether physical or emotional battery, it's happening. And all in the name of headship of the man. And this is something that we need to see as a form of sexual discrimination. So here we are. These are some of the forms ng discrimination. How should we react to it? Well, ang isang ingatan natin ay yung extreme reaction. Alam nyo ang nangyayari. Every time there is injustice, kapag merong injustice, watch against extremism. Yung sobrang tugon. At yung nangyari nga dyan, sa sobrang pagtugon dahil sa kalupitan sa mga kababaihan, ay merong form na tinatawag tayong women's liberation and feminist movements. Ano naman ang ginawa ng feminist movements? They are very attractive dahil nga pinaglalaban ang mga kababaihan. Pero in an extreme form, what is extreme about the women's liberation and feminist movements? Dalawang bagay. Una is the denial of authentic distinction. Tinatanggi na nila na talagang may pagkakaiba ang lalaki at babae. At hanggang ngayon may pinaglalaban sa Amerika na dagdag na amendment, ang tawag nila rin ay ERA, Equal Rights Amendment. Yung huling kampanya nila rin ay hindi nanalo dahil nilalabanan ng mga konserbatibo. Pero yung Equal Rights Amendment na yun ay parang inaalis na lahat ng distinction between man and woman. Nakita natin merong distinction. Naniniwala tayo sa equality, but equality with parameters. Therefore, man will not become woman, woman will not become man. And to deny the distinction is extreme. Akala nila, kung talagang equal, dapat pareho sa lahat. We don't accept that. Equality is not the same as interchangeability. Magkapantay, pero hindi magkapalit-palit. Yan ang dapat nating tandaan. God assigned roles in the covenant relations of household and church. So sa dalawang larangan na ito, in the household, and then in the household of God, which is the church, I believe in male leadership. Because this is based upon God's covenant. Leadership does not mean that man is superior or the man is better. It is simply that he has a mandate to lead so that walang confusion. Hindi toss coin, hindi ka lang magtalo sila sino ang pangulo sa isang relasyong mag-asawa o sa isang iglesia. May itinakda ang Diyos. Hindi dahil mas mabuti o mas lamang, kundi sa pagtatakda ng Diyos. So within that covenant, within those covenant relations, there is a mandated leadership given to the man. So to deny that is an extreme reaction. Ang kinakailangan ay makataong pangunguna, hindi tanggalin ang pangunguna ng kalalakihan. Then another extreme reaction in the women's liberation and feminist movements is contempt for domestic vocation, paghamak sa panawagang pambahay. Ito, mababasa nyo to sa mga literature ng mga feminists, kung paano nila hinahamak yung babaeng may talento naman, kung bakit naman ginugugol yung kanyang panahon sa pagwawalis, paglilinis ng bahay, paghuhugas ng pinggan, at etc. Pero alam nyo, ang nasa likuran yan ay mababang pagtingin sa pagpapalaki ng anak as a real vocation and an honorable vocation of women. And this is something that we need to take into account. It's premised on the low view of child rearing. Ang napakagandang larawan nito sa Biblia ay yung tinatawag nating virtuous woman passage. Proverbs 31:10 and following, doon ay tinatawag yung wife doon na honorable both by her husband and her children. Yet, she is a woman involved in many things including commerce, yung pangangalakal, and yung may kinalaman sa kahit sa pamamahala ng syudad dahil involved siya doon sa tinatawag na gates. Pag sinabing gates sa Biblia, tumutukoy ito sa, kumbaga sa atin sa UPLB administration, yan yung gate. That's where the administration was in those days. Eh, itong woman in Proverbs 31, involved sa pangangalakal, involved sa even city administration. So, and yet, she was very much a woman of the home. Nakatutok siya sa sangbahayan, pero may involvement siya sa labas ng sangbahayan. And that's the woman honored in the scriptures. Kaya yung pag-iisip na pagpambahay lang ay hamak na gawain, huwag nating tanggapin yung ganyang pangahamak na yan. But on the part of the men, on the part of the husbands again, it calls for extra sensitivity. Especially pag yung nasa bahay ay alam natin wala yung regular na sweldo, wala yung tinatanggap na compensation the way career women do, husband should be extra sensitive. Husband should be extra generous in order that yung kanilang ginagawa ay maramdaman nilang suportado ng kanilang may bahay. This is another form of oppression of women, maltreatment of women, especially those who choose the home as their base for child rearing. The husband should be very caring and sensitive sa ganyang gawain. So ito yung mga bagay na nangyayari sa extreme reaction ng women's liberation and feminist movement. So ang ating paniniwala, magkapantay ang lalaki at babae, bagamat sa sangbahayan at sa iglesia, may tinakda ang Diyos na pangunguna ng lalaki, hindi ibig sabihin nun na lamang ang lalaki. Pinapakita lamang na may kaibahan. Ngunit dapat na panatilihin natin ang pagkakapantay, walang diskriminasyon sa lalaki at sa babae. Now, let me just conclude with two difficult applications. We need clarity, balance, and flexibility in some questions that still relate to this. Halimbawa, paano yung mga gays? Pinag-usapan natin male and female. We cannot deny that in our society, gays are now accepted. In the sense na noon, it was punishable by death. Kaya talagang nagtatago yung mga bakla. And I believe that to be injustice. But let me put my position in this way. I believe the gay relationship, lifestyle, is immoral. There's no getting around that in Scripture. Kung ang tao'y ginawa na male and female, the gay option is immoral. But having said that, I believe in the human rights, even of gays. Sila yung mga tao pa rin at dapat igalang yung kanilang pagkatao. And that includes, among other things, don't make fun of them. They deserve compassion, and where you can admonish them with the gospel, do. But don't make fun of them, don't treat them like less than human beings. They are human beings deserving of our respect and caring. And yet, I believe that the gay option is not another gender. Hindi ako naniniwala na mayroong babae na nasa katawang lalaki. Kung ikaw ay nasa katawang lalaki, lalaki ka, kahit na anong pagkuhumiyaw ng iyong kalooban, lalaki ka kung ikaw ay nasa katawang lalaki, and vice versa. So, isang malaking bagay riyan, yung pagsasanay ng magulang. I believe, according to research again, that many times yung gay preference ng isang tao ay dala ng kanyang defective relationship with a parent of the same gender. Meaning, a daughter will have the tendency to lesbianism if she has a defective relationship with a mother. And the son will have a tendency to yung gay lifestyle if he has a defective relationship with the father. So it goes back to the parental nurture na ginagawa. So I don't believe it to be nature. I believe it to be an issue of nurture sa magulang. So, igalang natin even gays, but gay is not another gender. It is rebellion against a God-given gender. What about female leaders? Nalala ko noon, maraming mga Kristiyano akong kasama nung iniisip nilang ang alternatibo kay Marcos noon ay si Cory. Sabi nila, wag na lang, babae yan. And to me, the very mentality is wrong. I mean, if you don't like Cory because of her policy, fine. But if you don't like her because she's a woman, that's another thing. I believe that outside the household and the church, which are the mandated covenant realms, outside that, women may lead. And I have no problem if I were, let's say, in an office or in a sa isang trade or in a political system that the woman is at the head, I have no problem submitting to her leadership outside the church and the household. Kaya huwag nating problemahin yung hindi naman talaga problema. And that means also for women, if you're given the charge to lead, then lead. And there's no guilt to it. Gawin ninyo bilang nilikha ng Diyos. So the equality of genders, given the history and still the situation in our present society, the equality of genders is calling for the greater movement towards respect for women and treat them as equals. Because it goes back to Genesis 1. Male and female, He created them. Let's put that into practice. Any question? Anything you'd like to clarify, Suzette?
Pastor, ito pong sa 1 Peter, yung sinabi po dito na you husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way as with someone weaker since she is a woman. Ano pong ibig sabihin nandito?
It's a good question. And again, another text so often used and misused. In what sense is the woman weaker? The only other place where that word weaker in comparison is used in the New Testament is 1 Corinthians 12. And it is about those who have gifts so that they become public in their position. And then those who are, yung sinabi na, weaker in the sense of their position in relation to their gifts. So, ang kinocompare dito ay, again, the position of leadership. The one who is not in leadership has a position in terms to the in relation to the leader is weaker, it doesn't make the person of a weaker personality or nature, kundi in terms ng position. So this is weaker in the positional sense, in the sense of gifts, in the sense of one is public, the other is not public, but in the sense ng ganung relationship, the woman's position in the husband-wife is weaker. She is more vulnerable to maltreatment than the other way around. It is not teaching that women by nature are weaker than men. So pag-ibahin natin yung sa relasyon ng mag-asawa, yung posisyon ng kababaihan ng asawang babae ay nasa weaker kaysa kumpara sa leadership ng lalaki, which is true. But not weaker in terms of personality. It is weaker in terms of position. I'm sorry?
Hindi pa rin ba yun mako-consider na inequality?
Hindi inequality of persons. Kundi merong mandated gifts and katulad ito ng ang Panginoong Jesucristo ay narito sa lupa sa kanyang kalagayan bilang incarnate son. Ang sinabi sa 1 Corinthians 11 ay siya'y nagpasakop, ang kanyang pangulo ay ang Ama. So in the Trinitarian relationship, merong pagkapangulo ang Ama sa anak, pero it doesn't make yung Ama na superior by nature to the Son. We believe in the co-equality of Father and Son and Holy Spirit. So ganyan din ang sa husband-wife. Sa relationship, merong isa na leader, yung isa subordinate in terms of position. And it is in that sense na sinabing weaker, pero hindi in terms ng nature. Hindi mas magaling ang lalaki kaysa sa babae, hindi mas lamang ang lalaki kaysa babae sa mag-asawang relasyon. Jean.
Pastor, yung could the husband's physical abuse be enough reason for separation? Is it against Matthew 19:9?
It can happen that the husband's maltreatment can become a threat to one's life or well-being, that temporary separation may be advisable. But that will not be the same as divorce. For the case of divorce, there is a more limited justification or permission. Pero in terms ng temporary separation, it may be advisable for some women to temporarily separate from a maltreating husband for the security and safety of their lives. So parang katulad din yan ng self-defense. Para tong pastor's conference. Why does Adam not stop Eve? If Adam saw what happened, and why do men abuse women? Is God's plan? Is it God's plan for mankind to sin? So, it's good questions sa ating mga young people. So, but hindi pinigil ni Adan si Eve. Kung nakikita niya, eh kasama na nga yun sa tinatawag na role reversal. Hinayaan niya. And that alone is already a process of role reversal. And already that shows that at that point, Adam was beginning to rebel against his own position and against God's mandate. And therefore, yan ang kasalanan niya. Isa sa kanyang kasalanan. Bakit inaabuso ng lalaki ang babae? Why do men abuse women? Because these men are sinners. At tandaan natin yung abuso, pwede yung physical, pwede yung emotional, pwede rin yung financial. There are many ways of abusing, and every time it's sin. kasalanan ng lalaki. Yung pag-abuso, lagi niyang bibigyan ng excuse dahil sa gawa ng babae. At according to research, a battered wife tends to blame herself. Sinisisi niya ang sarili niya. Kung hindi nga lang sana ako ganun-ganyan. Eh, ang totoo niyan, hindi kasalanan ng battered wife. Laging kasalanan ng battering husband. And then, tandaan natin na so, is it God's plan for mankind to have sin? Well, plan, yes, in the sense of permitting it. Pinahintulot niya na mangyari. Ayon sa kanyang marunong na plano. Hindi natin to uusisayin, ano ba yun? Pero hindi nangyari ang kasalanan na labas sa plano ng Diyos. Hindi ibig sabihin na may planong iba ang Diyos pagkatapos nagulat siya, nagkasala ang tao. Kundi maging yung kasalanan ng tao ay bahagi ng pinahintulot ng Diyos na ayon sa kanyang plano. Kaya kayong mga young people, isang napakahalagang itatanong nyo lagi, kung kayo'y babae at merong kayong mga manunuyo, huwag nyong itanong lang, gwapo ba, may pera ba? Huwag yung mga ganun tanong. The first question to ask, especially in terms of faith, ay, is he a believer? And even if he's a believer, the next question is he the man who can lead me in a loving way? Yan ang tanong nyo, mga kababaihan. Is this the man who can lead me in a loving way? Huwag lang love but will not lead. Or lead but will not love. You have to look at these two issues every time na merong nanunuyo. Bakit po sinisisi ng mga tao si Eve? Eh talagang kasama pa rin yan sa kasalanan. Yung humanap ng masisisi. Nagsimula yan kay Adam. Si Adam yung unang-unang nanisi. Diba? Yung tinawag na nga siya ng Diyos, Adam, where are you? I believe na yung tanong na yun ng Panginoon ay pagbibigay puwang pa rin sa kung maari magsisi. Pero sa halip na magsisi, nanisi. Yung babaeng ibinigay mo sa akin. Yung babae naman, nanisi rin. Yung ahas, tinukso ako. Yung ahas, wala nang masisi. At sa kanya unang bumagsak yung curse. How did sin enter into mankind? Well, ito yung sinabi ko kanina. By one man. Romans 5.12, Romans 5.18. By one man, sin entered into the world. And because of that, all sin. Pansinin ninyo na nagkasala tayo at hindi yun ang naging makasalanan tayo nung tayo nagkasala. Kundi makasalanan na tayo, kaya tayo nagkasala. Kaya saan nag-umpisa yan? One man. Adam. Why are women treated badly by men? Well, again, kasalanan. Kasalanan na ganito ang pagtrato sa kanila. Kaya, again, kayong mga kababaihan, girl, ito nagtanong. Kayong mga kababaihan ay pag iniisip ninyo yung nanunuyo sa inyo, huwag kayong padala sa mga malalambing na mga pangungusap. Always ask in principle, does he lead well? Does he love in the biblical sense of love? Why didn't Adam stop Eve? Sinagutan natin yon. Why did Eve talk to the serpent? Eh, magsasalita rin yung serpent. Baka naman discourteous kung hindi mo kausapin. At siguro nga, itong si Adam, takot sa ahas, na napaakyat sa puno. Pero yun ang nangyari. Yung sa palitan, yung sinabi sa 2 Timothy, flee. Huwag kang makipag-argue. Kapag nandyan yung temptation, flee. Tumakas ka. Why did Eve go near the tree? Eh, sinabi rin, attractive. Diba? It pleases the eye. And siguro, may curiosity na. Hindi natin alam kung gaano kalaki yung garden. I'm sure, malaki yun at maraming alternatives. Ba't nga naman siya nandoon? Mapanuri itong mga bata natin. Well, alis pareho din ito. Why didn't Adam do something while Eve was with the serpent? So yun na nga. And God told Eve not to eat. Why didn't God tell Eve not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Well, I believe God did. God told Adam, and I'm sure Adam told Eve. And in fact, when the serpent was tempting her, yun ang sinabi niya. Although may dagdag na, dahil sinabi niya ron, not to eat, not even to touch. Eh, wala naman yun sa command. Kaya some scholars say na at this point, Eve might be feeling being restricted. Kaya sinabi niyang not even to touch. Paano dapat unawain ng lalaki ang Genesis 3:16 na hindi niya tingnan ang babae na parang kalaban? Ano ba yung Genesis 3:16? Pinapahirapan ako ng mga bata rito. To the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Yung magandang tanong yun. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Itong conjunction o pagkalapit ng desire and then rule sa forms ng mga curses dito sa fall, merong movement na destructive. And yet, each time, there is a movement of grace. So, makikita natin yan, yung pain of childbirth, and yet may pangako dun sa childbirth, even sa serpent. Ano yung naging promise of grace doon? You shall endure its heel, the seed of the woman, but the seed of the woman will bruise your head. That's destructive grace. Well, dito sa punto na ito ang magandang construction. Her desire shall be over you is the destructive movement. The woman will tend to desire the rule in the house. But the movement of grace is when the husband exercises gracious rule in the relationship. Saan natin makikita yung rule, desire and rule? Genesis 4. Dito sa case ni Cain, verse 7. Kinakausap ng Panginoon si Cain, Genesis 4:7. So kayo mga bata, tingnan nyo sa inyong mga Biblia. Verse 6, so the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? Verse 7, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. And its desire is for you, since desire is for you, but you should rule over it. So, pansin niyo yung pinagsama rin, the same construction, its desire will be over you, but you should rule over it. E ganitong-ganito yung construction kay Eve and Adam. Your desire will be over him, that's the destructive movement. The constructive movement is, but he shall rule over you. So, every time the man exercises godly rule, I always emphasize godly rule, caring rule, considerate rule, every time the man exercises that, he is exercising a gracious movement in the house. Because if he will not, the woman's desire will be to rule the house. So does that answer you? Or merong mga sumisikip ang kalooban? Susan? Yes?
Oh, what will you say with this na para lang walang gulo, the husband would say, okay, well taken. Pero, I mean, para sa kanya, nagrurule pa rin siya. Pero, parang ayaw lang niya ng gulo dahil in the sense, ang wife pa rin ang nasusunod dun sa ano.
But it is not rule. Rule, of course, rule in a partnership will always consider the partner's input. Sa isang magkatambal, yung tamang pangunguna ay sasaalang-alang lagi yung iniisip ng katambal. That's why it's a partnership. So there are two ways na magkakamali na hindi sinasaalang-alang yung partnership. One is authoritarianism on the part of the man. Ito gusto niya. Wala siyang pakialam kung anong gusto ng asawa. O kaya basta magpapasya siya ng walang pagsasaalang-alang nung sa kanyang asawa. At kaya ay wala siyang pakialam kung ayaw, basta yun ang gusto niya. This is authoritarianism, which is wrong. That's one that's wrong. The other one that's wrong, which is what Proverbs warns again and again, is contentiousness on the part of the woman. At dyan sinabi na it is better to dwell on the edge of the roof than with a contentious woman. At maraming ganyan sa Proverbs. Kaya ito yung dalawang pwedeng mangyari na mali sa mag-asawa. Authoritarianism on the part of the man, contentiousness on the part of the woman. Follow up, Suzette.
So sa ganun po, now that in our society, it is a matriarchal type of, in nangyayari, Pastor. So, kumbaga, paano natin yung kung ma-counter yung ganun na tipo na ano natin sa society, kasi it's nakikita eh.
Well, matriarchalism sa ating society is in the house. Yung bahala ang nanay riyan kung anong mga gagawin sa bahay, walang pakialam yung tatay. That's the form of matriarchal society we have. And of course, that is wrong. Pagdating sa pagpapalaki ng mga anak, kanino ibinili ni Pablo? Ephesians 6, fathers, bring up your children, etc. So of course, andun yung mother, pero hindi walang pakialam yung father. Yan ang nangyayari sa uri ng matriarchal society natin. Walang pakialam o walang nalalaman yung ama sa nangyayari sa tahanan. Very minimal involvement and knowledge, and that is wrong. When it comes to especially child rearing, father should be very much involved. At hindi pwedeng sisihin ang sisihin yung nanay sa mga nangyayari sa mga anak na malimit ganyan ang nangyayari. So that's one thing that we need to correct. Nagmumukha po bang invulnerable yung mga babae pag marami siyang kasama matapos siyang ma-abuse? O kung ibig mong sabihin ay mas napuprotektahan siya from abuse by being with a group, maraming kasama, definitely. It's one way na maprotektahan ang mga kababaihan. Kaya isang pagprotekta rin sa mga kababaihan ay huwag silang pabayaan mag-isa, especially sa mga mapanganib ng mga oras o lugar. We don't know when such attack may happen. It may happen at the most unexpected circumstances.
Pastor, yung female leadership, may inanoint ba ang Panginoon na manguna sa loob ng iglesia? Kasi may mga pastora na kasi ngayon sa ating panahon.
Well,
may based dun sa 1 Corinthians 14:34. Nag-anoint ba ang Panginoon ng mga leaders sa loob ng iglesia?
Nag-anoint ba ng female leaders? Well, if you mean leaders in terms ng preaching, pastoring, the answer is a definite no. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 and following, sinabi rin na, I do not permit a woman to exercise authority over a man. Not even yung speaking authoritatively. At anong binigay na reason ni Paul? Dalawang bagay. Ay on the basis of creation and on the basis of the fall. So in other words, two facts universal to all mankind. Kasi yung ginagawang argumento ng iba ay kultura. Kasi kultura ng mga taga-Efeso noon, kung saan isinulat yung 1 Timothy, kung saan diniretso yung 1 Timothy, ang kanilang argumento ay dahil mapang-away yung mga babae roon, kaya kinakailangan ng ganong special na rule. Hindi kultura yung argumento ni Pablo, kundi yung dalawang bagay na totoo sa lahat ng tao. Pagkalikha, pagkahulog sa kasalanan. Ibig sabihin, hanggat totoo yan, sa lipunang pantao, sa iglesia, mga kalalakihan ang tinakda ng Diyos na manguna. Again, hindi dahil mas magaling sila, hindi dahil sa mas lamang sila sa mga kababaihan, kundi ayon sa panawagan ng Diyos. Yun ang kanyang pagsasaayos sa iglesia. Kaya kung may mga pastora sa isang iglesia, meron ditong paglabag sa salita ng Diyos. Follow up. Should we blame Adam? Well, he is more culpable. Mas malaki yung kanyang kasalanan. Pero kung nauwi naman tayo sa paninisi, balik tayo sa ginawa ni Adam and Eve, paninisi rin. Kundi tanggapin natin yung kalagayan natin ayon sa pahintulot ng Diyos. Pero may laan na ikalawang Adam. The second Adam is the Lord Jesus Christ. Kaya ngayon tumututol ng Adamic structure, ba't ako ang naging makasalanan si Adan yung nagkasala? Kung tumututol tayo sa ganyang structure, tinatanggihan mo rin yung tanging paraan na ikaw ay maligtas is through another Adam in the person of Christ. Excuse me. Anong dapat gawin kung palagi na lang sasabihin ng iyong asawa, insubmissive ka sa tuwing... sa tuwing may nagagawa siya, hindi naman ganun. Tama bang lagi-lagi? Well, this is true. This is one of the common things I encounter in counseling. Sa mga mag-asawa, mga kababaihan lalo, lagi na lang ipinupukol sa kanila ay hindi ka mag-submit. May gusto siya at lagi na lang ang panako tayo, dapat kang mag-submit. Well, again, gusto kong i-clarify na yung leadership ng lalaki, totoong dapat mag-submit ang babae, pero ito ay leadership ng isang mangingibig. It's the leadership of a lover, leader-lover. At ang salitang ginagamit dun sa Ephesians 5, nurture, isinasaalang-alang, inaalagaan. Pag inaalagaan, siyempre kasama na yung sinasaalang yung kanyang kagustuhan, yung kanyang pangangailangan, yung makabubuti sa kanya. Kaya the worst thing for a husband to say is, do it because I like it that way. And you better submit. I think that's bad leadership. So, magbago ka na. Sino pa man? Biro lang.
Na-appreciate ko, Pastor, yung nawala ko ng tatay kasi he was the one who taught me discrimination first. Huwag kang palalamang kahit kanino. Half-truth lang yun. Ang Pastor, yung ano po yung tingin ninyo doon sa mga gays sa military? Is it discriminatory na hindi sila tanggapin sa military? And in the history of evangelical churches, had there been a church leader na nagkaroon ng pagkakasala na he became yung third sex na umalis siya because ganon ngayon? And then the third question would be, I talked to a lawyer. Sabi niya, pag babae ang nangutang, yung asawa niyang lalaki sangkot doon. So ibig sabihin, babayaran din ng lalaki. Pero pag lalaki lang ang nangutang, hindi kasama ang babae. So discrimination din ba yun?
Ano yun?
Ano pa?
Kaya lang ang babae ng utang.
Pag ako nangutang, kasama. Okay. The first one is the gay in the military and the second yung...
Gay in the military?
Yes.
Well, the present policy sa states is don't ask, don't tell. I can see some complications for gays in the military, but again, as part ng human rights, naniniwala ako na kung yun ang gusto nilang calling at talagang kaya nilang mag-militar, why not? Pero yun, susubukan ng mga komplikasyon doon. Saan patutulugin yan? Saan sila maliligo? In a military camp, I did advanced training sa college ng military, and talagang sama-sama kayo riyan maligo, etc. Saan sasama yung mga gays pag nagkataong kasama sila? So, yun ang mga komplikasyon. Now, have there been leaders of churches na nasangkot sa pagiging gay? Yes. And one that I respected very highly and whose written works have helped me a lot. Hindi ko nang babanggitin pangalan. I can give you the name. But he's a very good writer, reformed in his theology. And then one time, I just read in an evangelical paper on the first page, so-and-so has gone off with a partner. Anong basahin ko yung loob? Yung partner ay lalaki. So, gays among people in the ministry happen. It happens in among priests. It can happen among pastors. The third is utang. Agree ako roon na yung utang ng asawang babae, sangkot ang lalaki. Dahil pananagutan niya bilang pangulo ng asawa. Kung nangutang siya, pati hindi niya mabayaran, siya lang ang mananagot, hindi pananagutin yung babae. Tanggap ko yung ganong sitwasyon. What if the wife is the abusive one? You mean physical abuse? Pwede mangyari yun. And it's still as wrong. It's still wrong, it's still ugly, whether it's the man battering the wife or vice versa, the wife battering the husband. But of course, it has the added contempt on the husband na battered by the wife. pag yung babae ang battered, awang-awa ka. Pag yung lalaki ay battered, hindi ka maawa, maiinis ka. Should women fight back when they are abused by husbands or the men? Fight back in the sense ng physical? I think in defense, yes. And then, as I suggested kanina, it may be advisable to call a physical separation temporarily in the case of a battering husband. So, physical defense, yes. Michelle.
Kaya po sabi yung love your wife and then the wife will submit to your husband. What if there's no love? Is it right for a woman to submit to his husband?
Yes. Yung mandate na yan ay mandate sa isa't isa sa kanila. Halimbawa, hindi umiibig ang lalaki, hindi ibig sabihin na hindi na magpapasakop ang babae. Dahil tungkulin pa rin niya yun. Yung pagkakataon lang na hindi siya magpapasakop ay kung inaangkina ng lalaki yung papel ng Panginoong Hesukristo. Halimbawa, sabihin niya sa babae na gawin mo ito at yung pinapagawa ay kasalanan, doon maaring tumanggi ang babae, hindi siya magpapasakop. Pero hangga't ginagawa ng lalaki kahit walang pag-ibig, yung kanyang mga pangunguna sa sambahayan, kinakailangan magpasakop ang babae sa paraan na tama sa ilalim ng Panginoon. Yan ang sinabi sa 1 Peter 3, yun daw ang asawang lalaki ay hindi mananampalataya. Yung babae ang mananampalataya. Paano mo hikayatin yung asawang lalaki na hindi mananampalataya? Ang sinabi ron ay, without a word, you win by your behavior. Hindi sa pamamagitan masyado ng pananalita, kundi sa pamamagitan ng mapagpasakop na diwa. Kaya merong pagpapasakop kahit walang sukling pag-ibig ang isang asawang lalaki. Pero kasalanan niya yun. Suzette, let's have last two or three.
Naalala ko lang po yung sa legal matters. Pag ang babae ang nangaliwa, it's adultery. Pero pag lalaki, it's only concubinage. So makita mo dun yung inequality.
Kasama yun sa inequality. one night na makitagpo ang babae, adultery, she can be in prison. Ang lalaki, hindi pwedeng ganun. Kailangan patunayan mo na ibinahay niya. And that's concubinage. So walang adultery sa lalaki sa ating batas. At bagamat ito ay pinipilit baguhin sa Kongreso, na hindi papasa sa first reading. Hindi papasa sa first reading na gawin na rin ang adultery ay krimen ng mga lalaki. Hindi makapasa-pasa, ilang ulit lang tinry, hindi makapasa-pasa na ang lalaki magkasala rin ng adultery, kinakailangan concubinage. Part siya ng inequality. Test.
Ano po dapat ang gawin ng asawang lalaki pag ang asawang babae ay talagang contentious?
Sabi ng Proverbs, tumayo ka dun sa bubong. ganun kasahol na. You know, ang point rito, between Christians, it should be something na pwedeng mapagkasunduan through counsel and through help. Ay pwedeng they rebuild their lives around the standard of the scriptures. Ang problema kapag yung isa'y hindi mananampalataya at mahirap na hikayatin sa pamantayan ng salita ng Diyos. Pero may ganyang problema. Hindi ko sinasabi ang problema lang rito ay yung lalaki. Nangyayari na ang problema ay babae because of contentiousness.
Follow up, Pastor. Ipapaano naman po kung yung asawang lalaki naman ay hindi sinaalang-alang yung babae? Desisyon o mga basta asawa lang siya.
Tell us how. Yun ang sinasabi ko kanina na andun pa rin yung pagpapasakop na tungkulin ng babae whether or not iniibig siya ng lalaki. So in other words dito, whether or not one partner does his or her duty, the other partner has his or her duty to fulfill, irrespective of the other. Pero, of course, it will be in a very challenging, in a very, yung situation ay napakahirap because wala yung patambal niya. Pero hindi na wala yung tungkulin niya.
Siguro yung encouragement lang for wives, yung with regards to submission. Kasi may clear commandment sa atin ng Lord sa Ephesians, na wives, submit your husband as to the Lord. Parang let's be motivated to submit to our husbands even though they don't love us or whatever. Doing it for the Lord because it is also the Lord who will give us the enabling and equipping to love our husbands according to the Lord.
Yes, that's the standard as unto the Lord, which also shows the limits of submission. So both the motivation and the limitation of submission is on the basis of who the Lord is. Kaya may mga bagay na hindi susundin ng babae kung ito ay umaangkin na ng otoridad ng Panginoon. Last, Jojo.
Pastor, yung nabanggit sa Bible, yung pinaka-ground ng divorce, bali sa adultery lang, di po ba? Ngayon, bali yung movement ngayon, kasama nga doon sa liberation ng mga women, pag naabuso, pinagpapile sila ng case na uwi sa divorce to, o annulment tong ano. Ano pong masasabi nyo doon?
Life for one, amenable doon sa humiwalay ang babae sa isang sitwasyon na pinagmamalupitan sila, pero yung case ng divorce ay merong right of remarriage. Sa akin, yung right of remarriage ay pwede lamang doon sa ang kaso ay limited in the scriptures in terms of adultery, in terms of abandonment by an unbeliever of the believer. Yun ang very clear sa New Testament. So other than those, it is possible to separate but without remarriage. Well, on the basis of those, one may separate and remarry. Yun ang ginagawa ng divorce. Ang ginagrant ng divorce ay remarriage. Meron tayo niyan, pero hindi divorce ang tawag. Annulment. Pag annulment, ay you have the right of remarriage, or in fact you have the right of marriage because your original marriage is deemed as null. Walang nangyaring kasal. Kaya ang worst yan, I am for divorce in the country because annulment is worse. Na wala nang responsibilidad yung asawa na humiwalay doon sa babae kahit pa may mga anak dahil annulled. There was no marriage that happened, which is wrong. To me, therefore, divorce is better than itong pinagpipilitan ng Roman Catholic Church na walang divorce. Nangyayari na ang divorce dito sa atin, but in a worse form than it is happening in the West. So, ang hamon dito sa atin ay ipakita natin yung katarungan sa pamamagitan ng mapagparangal na pakikitungo sa mga kababaihan. Tayo manalangin. Dakila naming Diyos, kami ay nagpapasalamat sa katotohanan na pinag-aralan namin ngayon, ang katotohanan ng pagkakapantay ng lalaki at ng babae, batay ito sa pagkakalalang ng bawat isa ayon sa iyong wangis. At nawa nga Panginoon ay tanggapin namin ito lalo't sa harap ng katotohanan sa kasaysayan hanggang sa kasalukuyan ng pagmamaltrato sa mga kababaihan, ang pagtrato sa kanila na hindi kapantay ng mga kalalakihan. At dahil dito ay nagkakaroon naman ng extreme reaction on the part of the women's liberation and feminist movement that treat the domestic vocation as contemptuous, that denies all distinctions between male and female. Help us instead to acknowledge that you have created man and woman in your image, but with mandated differences and therefore with parameters. And given that women are the more vulnerable victim in our society, teach us, Lord, to be more honoring of women in our treatment of them in society, in the household, in the church. And may we therefore mirror the Lord Jesus Christ and His love for the church. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.